Welcome to the Classic Holdup Podcast, where we analyze media from the past. Each episode features a different host that brings a fresh take on a film, TV show, video game, or music album of their choice. What can we discover? Do old favorites have a shelf life? Will the classics hold up?
Welcome to the Classic Holdup. My name is Alex, and I'll be your host this week. I am a senior at Michigan State University studying digital storytelling, and I'm from Lake Orion, Michigan. This week's episode is about Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2 is the sequel to The Evil Dead. The first Evil Dead was the debut feature of director and MSU dropout Sam Raimi. The film is a feature-length version of the pilot short Raimi created, Within the Woods. With this prototype, Raimi raised $90,000 from investors by begging every person he and his friend Bruce Campbell knew, including some family members. After securing this funding, Raimi set out with his crew to a remote cabin in Tennessee. The production of the film was incredibly difficult on the cast and crew. Many members of the crew were either injured or became sick due to unsafe and unsanitary filming conditions. Raimi went on to call the production 12 weeks of mirthless exercise in agony. The first Evil Dead is a gruesome horror movie that, unlike its sequel, mostly plays its scare straight. Due to its graphic nature, The Evil Dead was a member of the Video Nasties list in the United Kingdom and received an X rating in the United States. Despite this, the film gained an endorsement from horror icon Stephen King, who viewed it out of competition at the Cannes Film Festival. New Line Cinema eventually ended up purchasing the film distribution rights for cinema and home video, allowing Raimi to pay back all of his debts. The Evil Dead ended up launching the careers of director Sam Raimi, actor Bruce Campbell, producer Robert Tapert, and then editor Joel Cohen. These four would then collaborate on Raimi's follow-up film, Crime Wave. Due to Raimi's inexperience with Hollywood film productions, studio interference, and poor decision-making, the film became a disaster. The film was a financial and critical disappointment, and left Raimi and Campbell disillusioned with the film industry. In a desperate attempt to save his career, Raimi pitched a sequel to the first Evil Dead, which was greenlit because of the success of the first film. While writing the sequel, Raimi decided that this film would adopt a more comedic tone. Drawing on inspiration such as The Three Stooges, the film takes on a slapstick approach to the horrific events depicted. The original pitch for the film was for it to be set in medieval times, an idea which would eventually become the third Evil Dead installment, Army of Darkness. Evil Dead 2 is both a sequel to the first film, but the opening sequence, recapping the first film briefly, has caused many to consider this film a remake. In many ways, The Evil Dead ended up being a low-budget pitch for a far more intricate project, in the same way that Within the Woods helped make the original film. With two films under his belt and the largest budget of his career, the filming of Evil Dead 2 was far less troubled than the first installment. The completed film was not submitted to the MPAA, as producers feared it would earn another X rating, limiting its distribution prospects. As a result, the film was screened unrated to the 340 theaters that had already booked it. Evil Dead 2 ended up becoming another critical and commercial success for Raimi, allowing him to rebound his career from the hit that it took with Crime Wave. The film was followed by a sequel, the previously mentioned Army of Darkness, and then the franchise ended for a time. The Evil Dead films began to gain a cult following through home video releases, and Evil Dead 2 has largely shaped the franchise's legacy. Today, Evil Dead is an enduring horror media franchise, spawning two cinematic reboots, a TV show set after the events of the first three films, video games, crossover comic books, an off-Broadway musical, in addition to the character of Ash making guest appearances in video games such as Poker Night 2, Dead by Daylight, Fortnite, and most recently, Call of Duty. So the reason why I chose The Evil Dead for this podcast, and the reason why it personally has resonated with me, is I've been a fan of Sam Raimi's work for my entire life. I loved the Spider-Man films as a child, and I just love sort of the comedic sensibility and zaniness of his direction. And I feel like Evil Dead 2 was the first time that he was ever truly able to show that entire comedic vision that he had. It's zany, it's wacky, it has fun camera movements, fun direction, incredible special effects, and it just really resonated with me because of its sort of helpless tone, but the inherent comedy to it. It just is such a creative film, and it has stuck with me ever since I watched it for the first time a couple years ago. The first Evil Dead is probably my favorite movie of all time because of how it looks aesthetically and sort of what it represents in the field of independent creation, but I have a massive respect for Evil Dead 2. Welcome back. I'm here with Delaney. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Delaney. I'm a senior here at MSU studying journalism and concentration in broadcasting.
What is your experience with Evil Dead 2 and the Evil Dead franchise?
Evil Dead 2 is the only experience I've had with the franchise, and upon the watch, only watched it once, was very interested at first, also very confused just with everything I see that it was successful for when it came out, but also was
sort of like endured, I guess.
Yeah, it was not painful, but it was interesting to watch compared to like movies I watch now. You know, there's so much, like the effects are super great, the budgets are great, and the acting, and this was seemed like it was just intentionally bad. I don't want to be offensive to any Evil Dead lovers, but it just seemed a little rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very interesting perspective. So, how the content was reviewed upon release. As I mentioned, Evil Dead 2 was a critical hit. It sort of had an underwhelming box office. It only grossed about $800,000 domestically, but it ended up picking up $6 million internationally, which sort of made it a commercial success. It garnered positive reviews from a lot of the critics at the time. It got a 3 out of 4 stars from Roger Ebert. Did you see anything about how the film was received in your research when it first came out?
I did not. I need to look.
That's fine.
I was looking more so at recent reviews on Letterboxd and the internet to see what other people's thoughts were, which seemed very mixed. Some people loved it and were like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And then some people, I wrote down one comment I copied, which just made me laugh, was Evil Dead 2 goes from normal to absolutely batshit crazy in like 6 minutes and then stays at that level for the entire whole runtime. What a blast. So one of them was. So I think after a while I hopped onto that train of like, I'm just going to enjoy this and like take it for what it is.
Yeah, it's just fun.
And there was what part where there's the headless like corpse that he's looking out the window and it's just like spinning. He's like, I don't know why I just started laughing, because I was like, I don't know if this is supposed to be scary or if this is supposed to be comedic, but either way I did enjoy it.
I love Evil Dead because of its comedy. I think that's probably the best thing about it, and it's still I think funny to this day, sort of because of how surreal it is. My favorite scene in the whole movie is the laughing scene where they have everything in the room moving and like the deer head like turns to him and laughs. And I read something very interesting that like they just had a string on every single item in the room and they were just pulling everything, the entire cast and crew. I just think that just how crazy it is. It just is so endearing to me.
I guess I do have to think about that. I feel like at first I was quick to judge it. And then realizing, again, for the time, the effects are pretty good. Actually, with the strings, that's extremely tedious and was a really good and effective scene. So,
yeah, I think you could make the argument that some of the effects, like even like the stop motion claymation animation, hasn't aged particularly well. But I kind of have an appreciation for like the craft that went into it, even though I think it's kind of aged a little bad and it's kind of tacky. I think that there still is an artistic merit to it. That's what I was trying to get on to.
Yeah.
this film, how it's looked back upon now, I think it's looked back upon relatively fondly with most people. Through sort of the home video releases of it, it's gained a cult following, and many people call this one of the best sequels of all time. Of course, I don't think you'd be able to really judge that because you haven't seen... You sort of hopped in right at the middle of this franchise.
Yeah, I need to look back at the... Because there's just... How many are there?
There are three in the main series, then there are two reboot movies that they've made, but those are... Those can be ignored.
Is that more recent?
Yeah, they're more recent.
They're bad.
The 2013 reboot is probably my least favorite movie of all time. Okay. I kind of despise it. But the newer one, the newer reboot, Evil Dead Rise, that came out this year, I thought it was fine.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I want to actually immerse myself into it and watch all of them to get a better understanding and appreciate it better. Because just seeing the second one, I feel like I'm a little bit hindered from.
Yeah, but I feel like you kind of have a unique perspective because I am a very big Evil Dead fan, and I often see with other people who are fans of the films that they recommend that people just completely disregard the first one and just hop in with the second one. Okay. So, yeah, so it's sort of a remake of the first one, too. So did you find it easy to follow?
At first, no. At first, I was like, oh, this is sweet. He's... hanging out with what, his wife, girlfriend someone, yeah. And then it just like within seconds just changed, and I was like, I have no idea what's happening. I don't know where he's going. Why is he so mad? And then switching to the people getting off the plane, I was so confused. And then over time, I was like, okay, yeah, this makes perfect sense. This is a horror comedy. I don't know if that's the correct genre to put it into, but over time, I think after I stopped trying to analyze it, then I understood it weirdly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. This is, nowadays, I think it is one of the most enduring horror comedies ever. I think that besides, like, I would say maybe Ghostbusters, I think it's like probably, if you ask somebody to name a horror comedy, they would say Evil Dead 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If it was released now, do you think this film would be successful and gain a following?
I think it would be successful for the wrong reasons. I feel like with the way people can... makes things super popular on social media, I think it would be taken in a direction of people just making fun of it and seeing it to make fun of it, and it would not be it wouldn't be effective whatsoever. I think the people who appreciate film and understand the history would absolutely love it, but if it was released in 2023, I don't think it would land. I think it would do very poorly, unfortunately.
You see, I kind of have like a different perspective on that. I think it would be able to do fine because I feel like people would be able to sort of laugh along with it in a sense. I feel like a lot of the humor that I see, especially more like surrealistic stuff that I see on like TikTok and Instagram, I feel like in a sense that can sort of be attributed to Evil Dead 2. So in a lot of ways, I feel like it's something that would feel right at home. Two things that I think are very similar in tone to it that I've released within the past year. The first one, and this is kind of a stretch, but the film Everything Everywhere All at Once, I feel like in some ways the humor of the two films is kind of similar.
I can see that. Yeah. That's an interesting comparison.
And the other one that's probably a more straightforward comparison is the film Barbarian, which, have you seen that one?
No, I want to really badly.
It's an excellent film. I actually just ended up watching it on a whim. I just walked into the theater after seeing the poster and I was blown away by it. But I think a lot of that film, sort of like the setting of Detroit and sort of the direction of it, I think is an homage to Sam Raimi and the Evil Dead films in part. So. Yeah. I think with those two, I think you can make a case that it would be decently well-reviewed today. It still could fail.
That is true. Oh, you're right. I think so.
How do you think this is going to be perceived in the future?
I think if somebody in the future watched it without any prior context, I think it would be a little bit dismissed. But if people educate themselves, I think, because I didn't know a lot about it and you explained it, and now it makes a lot of sense to me and I can appreciate it better. I feel like people are going to use it as an example of the evolution of film, especially with different genres and, you know, horror comedy. So I think if people educate themselves, they're going to use it as an example to teach other people. But if they don't, I fear that it will be dismissed and fade away, which would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's always going to have sort of a cult following. I mean, we're sort of seeing sort of a surge in popularity and interest with the new reboot that just came out this year. But I think Evil Dead 2 will sort of be an enduring film. I don't know.
I hope so. I want to watch all the others.
Well, that's good. It drew you in as a new fan.
Yes.
Do you think, without me sort of explaining it to you, like, do you think you would go out and seek out the first Evil Dead, the Evil Dead and Army of Darkness?
I think so. I think the second one on its own intrigued me enough to want to see how the others did and see how they are similar, how they're different, especially between the first and second. I want to see how much it evolved and how production got better. But yeah, I think I would.
Yeah, that's awesome. I went to a Halloween party this previous Halloween season. We sort of just threw on Evil Dead 2 as a background thing on the TV with the volume off. So I just kind of sat there for like 90 minutes and watched it without audio. But I hope somebody saw that and thought, hey, what's that on the TV?
Did anyone sit down?
No. It's pretty much just me.
Was it easy to follow without sound?
Oh, yeah, totally. I've also seen it like several times now at this point, so I think that, honestly, without sound, it might even work better.
Yeah.
I want to be a filmmaker, so one of the things that I take away from the film, inspirationally, is sort of Sam Raimi through his movies. Have you seen the Spider-Man movies that he made, the first three?
Is that with
Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's something that he does so well, is sort of like this comic abstraction, you know, like everything is sort of larger than life in his movies, and that's something that I try and take to heart. Every gesture is so over-exaggerated. Mm-hmm. Of course, with Evil Dead being a horror movie, you know, there's tons of blood and, like, green goo everywhere, but it just is an interesting philosophy on art, in my opinion.
Right. I want to watch it for a second time, knowing everything, and, like, now I can analyze it now that I know it.
Yeah. It's
so cool.
Watch Army of Darkness. It's great. It's fantasy. It's stupid. Lots of skeletons blow up at the end. I love it. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
My name is Tris Parrish.
My name is Mason Chase Martin.
My name is Brian Brown.
When I complete my degree, I want to combine interview podcasting with fictional animation.
I want to become a music composer.
I want to be a video editor.
My name is Tris Parrish.
My name is Brian.
My name is Mason Chase Martin.
And I am ComArtsSci.
Start your journey at comartsci.msu.edu.
Welcome back to the Classic Holdup. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Delaney Rogers.
And we are discussing Evil Dead 2. So we have some fan-submitted questions that we're going to read off right now, and we're going to try and answer. Are you ready?
I hope so.
From our adoring fans. First question, was it better than the original, or did it follow the trend of lackluster sequels? Is it superior to the third film? So I really have to take the lead on this one because, as we've established, you have not seen the other ones. But I don't know. That's a difficult question to answer if it's really any better or worse than the first one. I think the general consensus is that it's sort of better. But in my opinion, I think it's the weakest of the original three films, which is a very controversial take. But I think it's personally the weakest. It's probably my least favorite. I would say my ranking of them is the original Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, the third one, which has that fantasy tone to it, then Evil Dead 2. But I think they're all like nines and tens across the board, so it's very close. Do you think the Evil Dead franchise could be faithfully recreated with its original vision? What do you think?
I think so. If it was done by the same people.
If it was done by different people, I think.
Oh. Then maybe not, actually. I feel like it's hard to recreate somebody's vision, especially if they put so much time and passion into it and are very intentional. I feel like if they try to recreate that, it almost becomes overkill because they're going to try too hard and might lose the vision within the process.
You know what's great is that you just accurately described the two Evil Dead reboot movies. The first one, the Evil Dead 2013, which was directed by Fede Alvarez, probably my least favorite filmmaker in history. But my main problem with him is that he writes things that are not within his purview. So he tries to turn the Evil Dead franchise into an allegory for drug addiction. So the deadite monsters in this one, you know, they're sort of like vengefully cruel and superhumanly strong. So when you're comparing someone struggling with drug addiction and they turn into a deadite, I feel like it's a very insincere and bad thing.
It's offensive.
It is offensive, yes. I find it very offensive.
Yeah, you do have a lot of influence as a filmmaker, and if you're not, there's intention.
Yeah.
Like, it would be intentional with what you do, but if you do it in the wrong way, it could be very offensive or not land socially.
And when you don't write something that you know, I feel like it's very obvious. And then the other reboot, which was Lee Cronin's Evil Dead Rise, I feel like that is more stylistically in the same vein as Evil Dead, which is why I like it better, but it still is pretty humorless in my opinion. I think you cannot create the original Evil Dead unless you have someone with the same vision, which, is there a need for a reboot?
I don't think so.
No.
I think some things are better just staying in their own.
Do you think this movie would face the same issues with censorship today as it did upon release?
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's kind of absurd that they were worried this movie would have an X rating.
There are some even like PG-13 movies that are pretty graphic or raunchy and, you know, language, nudity. So with this, I feel like it would be maybe PG-13 for not like the psychological aspect, but just the intensity of it. But
yeah.
I don't think it would. What, you said it was an X rating?
Yeah, they were worried.
Crazy.
They were worried that it was going to have an X rating, which is the same rating that's given to like adult films.
Yeah, I think it would be PG-13.
I think it's a comfortable R, personally.
R?
Yeah.
So you can see some middle schooler watching this without being like changed, you know, or like
they wouldn't
like,
be traumatized.
They're not in like, yeah, they're not going to face like emotional turmoil.
Which Evil Dead protagonist is the biggest eye candy and why is it Ash? So we have to answer the question. Is Ash Evil Dead hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I'd say
he
so.
Is. My girlfriend Whitley agrees. We both agree.
I'd say he is. It's the mystery, the protective nature, I guess, especially towards the end when he's helping out.
Would you let him ruin your life because of how crazy he is?
No.
Oh.
Maybe me a few years ago be like, yeah, I'll give this a shot. I can fix him. And then now I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that to myself. I don't want to put myself through that. This man is insane.
Literally insane.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's a good guy, though.
Maybe I'll go on a date or two.
Yeah.
Analyze him.
See if any, like, demons follow you or anything.
Yeah. Send him to my mom. She's a psychologist.
The final segment that we have, does it hold up?
I think so.
I think it holds up, too. I think that it has aged like a fine wine.
I like that. I think so. I think, yeah, even having the conversations now about it, so it was 1987. So the fact that there's still conversations being had about it and talking about like reboots and talking about the evolution of it, I think that shows that it does hold up.
Yeah, and I feel like this film, even though it's not my personal favorite, it's the one that we sort of owe the longevity of the franchise to. This film nailed the tone for like what a horror comedy could be, and that's why it has held up. I think our final verdict is that the Evil Dead 2, the sequel to the first Evil Dead, the prequel to Army of Darkness, our classic does hold up. Evil Dead 2 is an enduring horror movie. And do you have any final closing thoughts after our conversation?
I'm excited to go watch the other ones. Even though some of you said not to go watch, I might do anyways, just to understand and broaden my perspective on the franchise.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining me here today. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Classic Hold Up. Thank you for listening.
Find the Classic Hold Up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us at Audio Video Land for updates, teasers, and behind-the-scenes content of all Audio Video Land productions. The Classic Hold Up is an Audio Video Land production by digital storytelling students of Michigan State University in collaboration with Impact 89 FM.